Going to take a couple of 3 weeks off from spiritual disciplines again. And for a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about love. Now, let me ask you to ponder this question first. Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Amen. Praise be to God. I asked that question this morning because I'm going to challenge our thinking this morning. Because, you see, Jesus said, and I'll refer to this over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to do just that. You remember that, right? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with everything that we are. And He said the second is like the first, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we aren't loving our neighbor in tangible ways, we probably aren't loving the Lord with all of our heart. Because loving our neighbor is a byproduct of loving the Lord with all of who we are. And so when I ask, do you really love the Lord? It's like Jesus asking Peter, do you really love me? Three times. Do you really love the Lord your God with all of your heart, brothers and sisters in Christ? Because if we do, our neighbors should be an automatic, a tangible love to our neighbors. And so that's why I've entitled today's, what kind of love do we love with? What kind of love do we have? What kind of love? Is it that kind of love? Now listen to me a second, because this has been prevalent in the church for way too often. Is it that kind of love that says, clean up your act, then come see me kind of love? I hope not, because that's not how Jesus loved. And so when I challenge our thinking today, I just want us to think, do I really love the Lord my God with all of my heart in such ways that I in fact love my neighbor as myself? Turn to John chapter 8 in your Bibles if you would please. You know this story. And I love this story. And there's a lot of places in this story that we could emphasize. But I'm going to emphasize on the last part of this story. John chapter 8, 2 through 11. It will be on the big screen, but I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you can follow along. Like I have said before, do not take my word for it. Take the word for what it says. Now early in the morning, he, that's Jesus, came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And then we read, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. They were trying once again to trap him and to see if he would go along with the Mosaic law and said, of course, or if he would say something else. They were trying to trap him again. But Jesus stooped down, the Bible says, and he wrote with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I'm going to ask you to consider a few questions today, friends, because I want us to think as believers in Christ. Let me just preface it with this. If we haven't been born again in the Spirit, if we haven't surrendered wholly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we will never be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's hard enough when we have, amen? And we will never be able to love our neighbor as ourselves if we haven't been born again in the Spirit. And maybe today you need to be just surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. So you've got His love washing through you, and you have a new ability to love that neighbor that is unlovable. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to ask you some questions, church. I want us to think, what keeps the church from loving others the way that Jesus did? I want us to think about that. What keeps us from loving others? This was, let us say, one of the undesirables. I don't know if her profession was prostitution or what. But the Pharisees and scribes looked down upon her. And I'm asking today, because God is asking this of me, what keeps the church from loving them like Jesus did? I hope that we can ponder that and come up with an answer. And if we don't, then it's time maybe we just start loving them like Jesus did. I realize that some of you do love your neighbors as yourself. I realize that Christians are doing that all over the globe, and I praise God for that, because that is what Jesus said He commanded us to do. But many, I fear, in the church house today would simply reply, well, I do love others as Jesus did, and yet will never give the time of day to somebody like this woman. I challenge us today with the idea, do we really love like Jesus loved? Do we really love those that have been convicted of murder? I have been in two trials for murder, and I will assure you, brothers and sisters, I didn't see too many people there expressing any love to no murderers. Do we really love those that have been the Alfonso Rodriguez's of the world? You remember the name. It normally brings shivers down our spines knowing he took the life of a young lady from Pequot Lakes after abusing her. Does the church really love the sexually immoral? This woman was caught in the very act, and the Pharisees were ready to cast the stones. They were ready to condemn on the spot. Are we any different today? Do we really love our neighbors? Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you went out of your way to intentionally go and see a neighbor and offer prayer for that neighbor? Because that is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Sitting at home and doing our own thing, taking care of just myself, me, myself, and I, and never having any time for my neighbor is not loving my neighbor. I wonder sometimes today, do we in the church really love the sinners the way that Jesus did? Because that's what the Bible says many times. The Pharisees said, look at him eating with sinners. I wonder if in the church we love the way Jesus loved. My buddy Kevin Campbell in California loves the way Jesus loved. He lives in a nice part of the town, and he goes down every Thursday night to Chinatown to minister to the prostitutes and the pimps and the gangbangers and the drug dealers. Why? Because he's loving his neighbor as Jesus loves him. Our friends in Olive Branch on the south side of Chicago, I have spoken of them from time to time because I have personal friends in the south side of Chicago, love the sinner the way Jesus did and does. They intentionally go out of their way to minister to the prostitutes on the streets of South Chicago. They are loving people like Jesus loves. Some of you go out of your way to love people too. I know that. But I'm wondering sometimes if overall, when we think of the question, what keeps the church from really loving like Jesus did, I wonder if sometimes we just think, well, I do. Because I think there's a lot of occasions that we don't. We don't love like Jesus did at all. Oh, I know the catchy little phrase, and I'm not even sure I agree with it or like it. Our bishop mentioned this in our conference. He mentioned the phrase, hate the sin and love the sinner. You've all heard that. I'm not even sure I like that phrase because I think I agree with him completely. We can't do two things at once. If we are absolutely hating something, it's going to be probably pretty hard for us to love in the same arena. And so we have to choose what we're going to do with that statement. But I think our bishop was right when he said, I'm not sure we can do that. We go around saying it, and I'm not sure we do a very good job of it. We may say we love the sinner. We may say we love that neighbor. But then we pick up the rocks and ask Jesus for permission to let one fly. We've done that in the church. I've seen it, you've seen it. And so I'm asking us today, friends, do we really love the way that Jesus loved? Do we really go out of our way to love the neighbor that maybe isn't that lovable? Love the neighbor that maybe isn't like us? Do we really? I'm wondering, what kind of love do we show to the people around us today? I said it earlier, I'll say it once more. For way too long, we have been guilty in the church house of saying to our neighbor, clean your act up and then come and be part of us. That's the kind of love that we showed. That's not love. That's not the love that Jesus showed. Not to this woman. Not to the woman at the well. That's not the love that the Samaritan showed in the story of the Good Samaritan, which we'll talk about next week. I wonder, what kind of love does the church show towards people today? Can we, should we, and do we genuinely love like Jesus loved? I know that we'll argue and we'll make statements like, well, yeah, but Jesus told her, go and sin no more, didn't he? Yes, he did. But listen to me. Yes, he did. After he had compassion on who she was, a person needing redemption. Amen? A person needing redemption. And Jesus came to her with grace, forgiveness, opportunity to follow him, and direction. If he would have come with direction first, would she have changed? Would she have listened? No. And too often we come with the same kind of approach. We come with direction first. Clean up your act. Instead of loving like Jesus loved. I wonder if we are even capable of seeing people the way that Jesus saw them. He spoke often of Samaritans, and the Jews despised the Samaritans. He spoke about tax collectors, and he spoke about sinners. And I wonder if in the church today we are even capable of loving like Jesus loved to those categories of people. I wonder if we are. I hope we are. I pray we are. The kingdom of God depends upon if we do. Jesus showed over and over and over in the Word, He loved people into the kingdom. Tax collectors like Nicodemus and Matthew. The woman at the well, I mentioned her already. This woman caught in adultery. Jesus loved people into the kingdom. Now listen to me. Listen to this statement. If you get nothing else, get this, because I think this is important. The whole of this story is through love, transformation comes. If condemnation would have been out front, transformation wouldn't come. Through love, transformation came to this woman. Through the love of the Master. And Jesus has placed us strategically where He has placed us, brothers and sisters, to love those around us that maybe aren't like us. Maybe aren't even lovable. Maybe aren't even the same skin color, the same social group. Maybe aren't even of the same sexual persuasion. He has put us strategically where He has put us to love our neighbors into the kingdom and into transformation. That's what He has done with us and for us today. That's what we are challenged to do when God says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And Jesus said, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love them to transformation. I believe, brothers and sisters, that when the church generally loves people, I mean like Jesus loved, transformation comes. I believe it. I believe when we, the church, follow Jesus so closely to the point of putting murder away from our hearts. You see, that was in their hearts. This was the religious class, and murder was in their hearts. And I believe when the church puts away murder from our hearts, transformation to our neighbor is likely. Don't get me wrong here, friends. I'm not condoning sin. You know me better than that. I am suggesting that people of God love like Jesus loved. First and foremost. I am suggesting simply that we love our neighbor as ourselves, which is a command. Not a suggestion. It is a command by God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New. Because if we are not intentional about loving our neighbors, we are not even obedient. We're not even obedient to the Word of God. Let me wrap it up so we can prepare for communion. When was the last time you invited someone that is looked down upon in society or by the church? When was the last time you invited them to church? I hope it's not been a long time, but I suspect it's been a while. When was the last time you had a non-condemning conversation with somebody that wasn't like you or me? Or heaven forbid, even somebody in jail. You see, friends, I believe when the church will really go out of our way to love our neighbors like we think we do, I believe God will step in and transformation will start to happen all over this land. That's what I believe. If we will only love like Jesus loved. I got a Facebook the other day, a Facebook message from somebody. Not going to say any names, but I'm going to read it to you because this goes along exactly with what I'm saying. The Facebook message said to me, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to ask you what you think of me and my girlfriend coming to your church, or if you don't accept it. You see, at the time, I didn't realize the Facebook I got from this person was when she said, me and my girlfriend, it's two girls. It's two women. And I had sent her a Facebook message like I do a lot of people from time to time, asking them how they're doing and ask them how their walk with Jesus is going. And this one responded, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to know what you think of me and my girlfriend coming to your church or if you don't accept it. And then she writes, we're looking for a church. We're looking for a church where we'll feel welcome. And she writes, even though our sexuality is sin. You see, she already knows that. And if we're going to greet that person and meet that person with condemnation, she is never going to experience the love of God. But if we will meet that kind of person and we will welcome them and embrace them like Jesus did, I believe Jesus will bring about transformation. I believe He is the one that transforms, not me and you. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves, so He can love them to transformation. Don't get me wrong, I told you already, I am not condoning sin. But I am pleading with us that we open our eyes and ask ourselves, do we really love like Jesus loved? Because in this example, He loved her to transformation. And I believe she's a transformed woman. I believe she took His advice at the end to go and sin no more. I believe she took that and went with it. And I believe it was because He said, neither do I condemn you. Too much of the time, I fear the church would say, clean up your act, when Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Jesus, we sing a song, remember? Jesus, friend of sinners. We sing that every now and then. Jesus welcomed sinners, brothers and sisters, and invited them, like He's invited you and I, to come follow Him. And I believe when the church really follows the Master with a love that's genuine and real like His, I believe it'll start to show in our neighbors. Like I said in the beginning, if you have not been born again, friends, if you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered completely, you're never going to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. Never. It's only by the Spirit of the living God that we can do these things. And if you're sitting here today and say, Jim, I don't think I even want to love my neighbor, then I'm thinking you better ask the Lord for direction on that one. Because it's a command to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. It's a command of God. And I'm simply suggesting it's time the church start exercising with ways of intentionality a new kind of love to our neighbors. The love of Jesus. The same way Jesus loved the woman that was thrown in their midst. I'm simply suggesting that the church love that way. Amen. I'm going to invite us to examine ourselves before communion. And so I'm going to invite us to bow our heads. And if you need to cry out to God today on something that He's telling you, then do that. Confess, repent, be transformed. Whatever it is, the Lord is speaking to your hearts. Examine yourself and get right with God. And then we will fellowship around the communion table together. Let's pray.